On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Fury Leyva, the Philadelphia Phillies organization. Fury, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Chris. So first of all, I'm from Elkins Park, PA, a small city right outside of Philadelphia. I went to Temple University, where I got my degree in exercise science. So first started off, I was football strength coach. I spent time working at Villanova University and Temple University as well, and a couple of high schools in the area. I never really had much of a desire to leave Philadelphia. You know, I didn't know which way my path was going to take me, but, you know, I had a buddy who had started strength and conditioning, and he's working in the Tigers organization at the time. And, you know, he gave me a call and was kind of explaining how strength and conditioning in baseball went, and it, you know, blew away all my, you know, preconceived notions of how baseball players train. So, you know, it definitely piqued my interest, and I started looking around, and, you know, at that time, that's when Pittsburgh had an opening and, as an internship position. So I applied, and, you know, before you knew it, I was with Pittsburgh, and that was about 5 years ago now. So
when we were together with the Pirates, you were in Double A, right?
I believe so.
I know you
yeah.
bounced back and forth and everything. So, it's probably cool to be back with the hometown team though, with the Phillies.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's a little bittersweet. You know, being from Philadelphia, you know, I don't know why Philadelphia and Pittsburgh kind of have this hate for each other growing up. You know, I told my dad I was hired by the Pirates, and he's like, look, as long as it's not the Penguins, you can still come home for Christmas. So, you know, everything worked out all right. But, you know, the Pirates was great, man. It was a big family over there, and it was, you know, awesome 4 years within that organization. But it's cool being home now. You know, every time I visit affiliates and whatnot, I get to stop home for a night and have dinner with mom and dad and, you know, see my grandma and stuff like that. So it's been pretty awesome for sure.
Yeah, that's great, man. Any family time you can get during the season is huge. All right. So you're in a new organization, you're in a new role, you're the coordinator now. Kind of tell me some of the similarities, some of the differences between being a coordinator and being at an affiliate. What did you like? What did you not like? What would you do differently, I guess? Just kind of go into that for me.
Yeah. So, you know, being a coordinator now, it's, you know, I never really envisioned for myself. I liked the affiliate role and I wanted to be a major league strength coach. That was my goal. And, you know, for some reason I just kind of counted being a coordinator out of the equation. And, you know, I kind of had a serious talk with myself and it was like, hey, you know, being a coordinator might be what benefits your career the best and, you know, help you move forward the right way. And when you get to the major leagues, you can prove to yourself you can stay there because you can do some of the other things. But, you know, as a coordinator, you know, the things you miss having 25 guys. You spend 5 months with the same people just about every day. And, you know, those guys are almost family and brothers. And, you know, athletic trainer I had for a couple of years, I'm in his wedding, you know, in a couple of weeks. So it's, you know, those are the bonds that you build as you're in a season or at an affiliate. So now instead of wearing about 25 to 30 guys, I'm wearing about 200. You know, it's not as easy to build relationships like you know, I did in the past, but still it's a new interesting challenge for me. You spend a little bit less time on the floor. You know, you don't spend as much time coaching up the squat and the deadlift, like more of the fun stuff that you do at an affiliate. You know, now you have to kind of step back and, you know, let your coaches do more of that work, and, you know, as well as some of the organizational stuff you need to do on the computer and, you know, answering emails, getting things like that done. So, another big change too is the off-season responsibilities. When I was an affiliate, you know, I had some like camp roles and I had to visit players during their off-season, but, you know, you had an off-season, you got to go home. And, you know, in this role here, it's basically year round. We have rehab guys in the off-season and, you know, you got instructional league, and then you got about 6-7 weeks of camp. So, you know, you're just constantly rolling here. So, you know, which is good. I enjoy staying busy and, you know, continue to work and get things done. So it's good for me.
Yeah, I'm about a week into my off season. I'm already going crazy. So I envy that you have you have things to do. Along those lines, what would you say the biggest struggles were that you experienced in your first year as a coordinator?
Yeah, so one of the initial things is, you know, understanding how a new organization works. There's kind of some things that you assume like every team does this because, you know, well, the Pirates did it this way. Why doesn't, you know, why don't the Phillies do it this way? Or you just assume that more things are going to be similar when, you know, from organization to organization, there are different philosophies, different views, different, you know, like financial means. There's just things that are different, you know, that only being with one organization up to now, I didn't fully understand. And so just trying to grasp, you know, organizational views and philosophies was an initial struggle for me, but I feel that I've caught on by now. Also, you know, your first year, you don't want to be overly ambitious. You can't come in like, we need to do this and that. And, you know, you have all these ideas and you kind of want to see how some things work before you start, you know, trying to implement a thing here and some things there. So, you know, kind of just staying grounded and, you know, analyzing more than you're trying to, you know, overhaul anything at this point in time. So, you know, another thing too is watching my coaches work and watching them do their thing. You know, sometimes you want to interject and give them answers or tell them how to do stuff, but at the same time, you need to let them, you know, work their way through certain situations, figure out how to handle things on their own. You know, because in the end, that's what happened to me. And that's what made me a good coach was I had good mentors that allowed me to, you know, do those type of things. So it's important that I let guys do that as well. You know, I think one of the last things is having the hard conversations with guys, with players and staff. And, you know, when you're at an affiliate and, you know, during spring training, you go up to somebody and say, hey, you need to, you know, take off your hat in the weight room. And he turns to you and says, well, why? Oh, well, cause a coordinator wants it that way. You know, you get to kind of deflect blame a little bit. You know, if you weren't ready to have some of those conversations and, you know, now I can't blame anybody else. I have to have that talk myself. So, it's definitely has been a change for me early on here.
Yeah, I feel for you because you're in a first year position and in a new organization. So did you lean on your guys a lot? I know a couple of the guys that work in the affiliates there, and they're pretty nice guys, pretty good guys. So did you lean on them a lot for things early on?
Absolutely. I mean, our major league guy, Paul Fournier, he was a coordinator here before he was a major league guy, and you know he was very very crucial to me as far as getting everything set up and. You know, the program is already in place. There wasn't a whole lot, you know, that needs to be done. It was just, you know, keeping things fresh and, you know, kind of, you know, keeping things moving in the right direction. So Paul was very vital in that aspect. And, you know, we have Dong in AAA. You know, he's tremendous as well. He's been here a long time and, you know, he knows the ins and outs of the organization. And he really helped me as well with how things work, the scheduling and stuff like that. So, you know, without a couple guys that have been here for, you know, an extended period of time, I might have been in some serious trouble trying to figure everything out on my own. So it worked out well.
Yeah, you got to know when to lean on others and when to take some initiative. And it seems like you're doing a good job with it. So kudos to you.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Chris.
So what do you believe makes a strength and conditioning coach successful? You're a coordinator now. You're on your way to the big league soon. Clearly, you're on a path that's quote-unquote successful. So what do you believe makes a strength coach successful?
Well, I think what's important is, you know, finding a way to connect with the players. You know, a lot of the main things we do here is how do you build relationships and how do you connect with your guys? You know, I could have the greatest strength and conditioning philosophy and program of all time. And, you know, if I couldn't get anyone here to listen to me or trust in me that I know what I'm talking about, it doesn't matter, you know, which program I have written up. You know, and to that point, when you're going through the interview process for this, you know, not one person asked me, hey, can you coach up a squad? Or, hey, what does a, you know, sample program look like? Those weren't the questions. It was, how do you connect and how do you communicate? You know, those are kind of the important things. You know, it's assumed by this juncture, everyone knows how to coach up as far as lifting goes. It's about how do you get across to your guys. Another thing for me that's important is being consistent. You know, I feel like players know when they're coming into the weight room, they understand what they're going to expect from me that day. You know, I don't waver. I'm the same guy every day. You know, it's not about your ups and downs and wearing emotions on the sleeve. You know, I think they come to the strength coach for a consistent presence, someone that they can lean on. When they view that consistency in your life, it makes you successful because these guys are ready to, you know, buy into you and give you what they have. So.
Perfect, man. Yeah, that's awesome. Very good points there. So kind of along those lines, what advice do you have for others? Maybe young guys who are just getting into the field. Like you said, you talked to your buddy with the Tigers and he talked you into getting in, or even guys who have been around who are just still thirsty for knowledge. What advice do you have?
Sure. Yeah, I think one thing that was important for me was asking questions. I asked, you know, Joe Hughes and Kiyoshi and Brandon Huttman and Carlo Alvarez, and I asked 1,000 questions. Everything I could think of, I thought if it was a dumb question or a good question, you know, I just asked it, and I tried to retain as much stuff as possible. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions. That's how you'll get the answers, and you'll hear some things that'll help you grow as a strength coach. Make sure you practice what you preach. You know, I think the 21st century athlete is like the new thing that you hear. And these 21st century athletes, they want to talk to strength coaches that look like they're training and taking care of themselves. So, you know, it's important that you're able to perform some of these lifts and do some of the things that you're asking these players to do. So definitely practicing what you preach. You know, always visit other coaches when you have time, you know, in the off season, just, you know, go visit some college programs and go, you know, just don't be stuck in your area. You get very one track in season to baseball strength and conditioning and just doing your, you know, daily responsibilities. When you have some free time, you know, reach out, go to some seminars, go to conferences, and make sure you're doing other things to build yourself outside of, you know, your daily activities.
Great, man. All good stuff there. All good stuff. So kind of going along that last one there, building yourself and building your knowledge base, where are you going for continuing ed? Are you reading books, listening to podcasts, any seminars you go to in the off season? I know you don't really have an off season, so to speak, now, but where are you going for your continuing ed stuff?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, one thing that's past off season I did, or the end of last season, was getting nutrition certification. You know, I took the precision nutrition. It's kind of funny in this game how much strength coaches are leaned on for nutrition information. You know, I don't know about you, Chris, but I had one course in college for nutrition, and it was like a summer course. It was, you know, 8 weeks long and everything was jam packed. So, you know, we're the nutrition experts with limited, you know, knowledge to this point in time. So I thought it was important for myself to, you know, try to explore some avenues to better my knowledge within nutrition. So I think that's kind of an important aspect. Some of the books I like to read, you know, I've been reading Tools of the Titans by Tim Ferriss. You know, it's a pretty popular book right now, and it just kind of outlines the daily habits and rituals of the most successful people in the world, from, you know, athletes to CEOs and it all types of successful people. So, you know, I think developing some habits and some routines for yourself is what is important for success, and kind of reading how some other guys do it and give you some fresh ideas. That's been good for me as well. So that's what I've been working on.
Perfect. How was the nutrition certification? Cause I'm looking to get one. I just don't know which one to get yet.
Yeah. I think what's important to this one is, you know, it's online, so it's at your own pace. And, you know, it's one of those things where you can kind of get in where you put out. So, I could have easily opened my textbook and opened the quiz at the same time and just worked my way through everything and done it in a couple of weeks. You know, that's if you want a piece of paper. If you're trying to actually learn something, you got to take a little bit more time. You know, it has a lot of good content in there. And, you know, I just really try to focus time on, you know, the content and some of the more boring stuff that was going to be, you know, more crucial for me down the line. So, you know, just if you put a little bit more effort into it, you know, I think it's a good idea.
It's kind of how it is with anything, right? You get out what you put in. So
absolutely.
It works for me. Cool. All right, man. If you're down, let's do a lightning round. What do you think?
Bring it on, Chris. See what you got.
All right. Perfect. All right. So first question, your biggest influence on you as a strength and conditioning coach, who is it?
Yeah. So I have to go with Joe Hughes here. You know, having him in Pittsburgh was awesome. You know, he kind of molded me through spring training and extended. And, you know, he was very strict and, you know, kind of set you on the right path to, you know, the future within baseball. And he always did a good job of playing devil's advocate. You know, if you had an idea, he'd always kind of, well, what about this option, or kind of play the other side and make you think more, you know, outside of the box, or think of the entire picture when you were setting something up. So I really credit Joe for, you know, me being where I am today as a coach.
Joe's always like three steps ahead of you.
It's unbelievable. I don't know how he does it.
You think you got it figured out, and then he's got an angle that you're like, ooh, I didn't even think of that. Right back to the drawing board. So Joe is one of those guys, man. He is incredible. All right, second one. Only one piece of equipment to train with. What would it be?
A barbell for sure. You know, a big barbell guy. I love the big lifts, the deadlifts, the squats, you know, the rows, and anything we could do with a barbell. So if there's one piece for me, it'd be the barbell for sure.
Agree completely. Yeah. All right, third one. This trips people up. Greatest accomplishment professionally or personally?
Yeah, well, I mean, luckily I just had one. So I just recently got engaged, and, you know, it's different in the weight room, and it's something kind of outside of your comfort zone that you have to do. And, I convinced her to say yes. So that was kind of a great personal accomplishment for myself. So looking forward to the future with her. So
congrats, man. That's awesome.
Thanks.
It's a big commitment for both, and having the right support group, especially in baseball, is huge. So if she's on board with you and what you're trying to do, that's great, man. So congrats on that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Appreciate that.
All right, last one. Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Yeah, so, I mean, this one's a little tricky. You don't really, envision yourself doing anything else at this point in time. But I was a nursing major in college for 3 years before I actually started my strength and conditioning career. So, if there was anything else I had to do, it probably would be nursing. I think something about the 3 days a week and the long days, but 3 days a week and then some off time. It doesn't sound too shabby. So, I think I could do that.
It's interesting. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. I look pretty good in the scrubs too. So.
I bet, man. I bet the biceps probably bulging out of them.
That's right.
Well, it's been fun, man. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we get a hold of you? On you on social media or?
Yeah. So we actually have a Philly Sending Conditioning Instagram account. So that's at Philly's _ strength. We recently started up that page, so you guys go ahead, give me a follow there, it'd be great. And if anybody wants to contact me, always through email works fine. It's my first initial, last name, so fleva@phillies.com. So best spot to get me at.
Perfect. All right, man, well, I appreciate you coming on. A lot of good stuff in this one, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. All right, everybody, that concludes our episode with Fury. I hope you enjoyed it. He provided a lot of good information for us, especially for coaches who might be moving into new roles or in new organizations. Three things that I took from him in this episode. Number one, be the same person every day. Try to provide a consistent presence for your players. Number two, connect with your players as best as you can. And number three, ask questions. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.